Amen. Let's continue this morning with our sermon series on prayer entitled Dialoguing with God. Find your Bibles with me this morning and open them to 2 Chronicles. 2 weeks ago, we looked at God, give me wisdom. This morning, we're going to entitle our message, God, give me strength. Now, when we talk about strength, we're not talking about physical strength. Although we're not very strong physically either. Just to kind of give you an idea, comparatively speaking, a tiger can lift twice his own weight and climb a tree with it. That's strong. A gorilla can lift 10 times his own strength, or 2,000 kilograms. That's the equivalent of lifting 30 humans. How's that for awesome? Strength, I suppose, is relative. An elephant can lift 9,000 kilograms. That's 4.5 times what a gorilla can lift. That's the equivalent of 130 humans. So, claiming to be physically strong? Nah. Let me give you one other. If we measure strength by size to power ratio, the strongest land creature on earth is the little orbited mite. Now, they're so small, there's hundreds of thousands of orbited mites in just a square meter of dirt. But these little mites are really strong. One of those mites can pull a weight 1,180 times its own weight. That'd be like one of us pulling 82 tons. So when it comes to physical strength, comparatively speaking, now we don't have it. But we're not talking about physical strength this morning. We're talking about emotional strength. We're talking about spiritual strength. We're not emotionally strong or spiritually strong either. I mean, you know, life can just beat us down. Do you agree with that? Life can just beat us flat. One discouragement after another just saps our strength. One heartbreak after another leaves us spent, folks. I mean, we become emotionally exhausted, don't we? We reach the end of our rope pretty quickly. We come to the point, often, I would say, when we don't have the will to carry on. We don't have the ability to carry on with life. Question this morning is, what do we do when we reach that point? To what do we turn? The Hayden Planetarium in New York City, kind of tongue-in-cheek, asked for invitations or applications for anyone who wanted to be on the first crew to travel on the first spaceship to another planet. It was just a tongue-in-cheek request. But they got 18,000 applications. 18,000 applications. They were so overwhelmed, they turned these 18,000 applications over to a panel of psychologists just to examine and find out what was going on. These psychologists came back and they said, most of these applications are coming from people who are just discouraged with life. They're just beaten up with life, and they're looking for something different. They're looking for something stronger. They're looking for an escape from life. Well, strength does not come from going to another planet. That's not how it works. Here's where strength comes from. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 10. This is classic, King David. Then David praised the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. David said this, May you be praised, Lord God of our father Israel, from eternity to eternity. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty. For everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of everything. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. This is King David praying for strength. It's a magnificent passage. I want to kind of parse this morning, because this is so important for us, all of us who are looking for strength this morning. Let's begin with this reality. God is the source, clearly. God is the source of all real strength. As David prays, he says in verse 11, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power." You have it all. It all belongs to you. In verse 12, he says, "In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength." You know, here's our problem. We get so caught up in the dark cadence of the culture in which we live. I mean, it comes at us from every imaginable direction. I'm not putting us down. I'm just saying this is the reality. We get so beaten down that we forget how strong God really is. And in the moment we cease being mindful that God, the same God who loves us, the same God who's tender toward us, the same God who's compassionate toward us, is also the source of all strength. In the moment we forget that, our tailspin begins. And we begin our downward spiral into weakness and into defeat. I want you to listen to Isaiah chapter 40. To me, this is classic. This is God speaking to us, reminding us how strong he is. Can't read the whole passage, although I would like to. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 6. "All humanity is grass, and all its goodness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, and when the breath of the Lord blows on them." And let me just, I have to move us along here, down to verse 12. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or marked the heavens with the span of his hand? Who's gathered the dust of the earth in a measure, or weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in scales? Who's directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who gave him his counsel? Who did he consult with? Who gave him understanding and taught him the paths of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Look, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are considered as a speck of dust on the scales." Down to verse 21. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not considered the foundations of the earth? God's enthroned above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a thin cloth and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces princes to nothing and makes the judges of the earth to be irrational. They're barely planted, barely sown. Their stem hardly takes root in the ground when he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind carries them away like stubble." God speaking, "Who will you compare with me? Who is my equal?" asks the Holy One. "Look up and see who created these. He brings out the starry hosts by number. He calls all of them by name because of his great power and his strength." and we can go on and on. Here's my point. When we lose sight of how great and awesome and powerful and strong God is, it costs us. We lose something at that point. Let me, if you don't mind, let me share with you a memory out of my childhood. That's a long time ago, but in my mind, this is just as fresh as yesterday. We were having a family reunion at Inks Lake. We'd all come there from various places, and it was a big family reunion at Inks Lake, lasted several days. And we were out at the lake, and the men were all swimming out to a buoy and back. And I wanted to swim out there too, but I was too small to swim. I couldn't remember how old I was, not very old. So my dad said, grab hold of my neck and I'll swim out there with you. My mother protested, but it was that kind of a quiet. I'm going to take him out there, that kind of thing. So my dad began swimming, you know, as I was holding on to his neck. And here's the kind of things, this is burned in my memory. I remember that his arms stretched out like they were 10 feet long on both sides. Just enormous spread, kind of doing this breaststroke, just real slow. I was holding on to his neck. I remember the freckles on the back of his neck. And I remember his dark hair, wet hair, kind of laying on his neck there. I remember the freckles on his shoulders. I remember those powerful shoulders. I could see the muscles in them and the ligaments kind of move, the joint kind of moving in those shoulders. Every now and then he'd say, "You doing okay?" "Yeah, I'm doing good." His massive back was right below me. We were in a lake, you know, it was dark, but his massive back was just below me. It must have been 5 feet wide. I remember I didn't care how deep the water was. I didn't care what fearful sea monsters may lurk beneath us. Because my dad was a powerful, powerful father. You get my point? When we start losing sight of how awesome and huge and powerful and strong our Heavenly Father is, we lose something. We become nervous about life. We become concerned about life. We forget we're not on our own. We have a powerful Father who loves us and watches over us and cares for us, and nobody anywhere, no thing anywhere can compete with Him. He's the source of all strength. We read that here in the passage. Continuing to parse this and kind of take this apart, here's another truth I think is important, and that is that God gives us strength. Look again at verse 12. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. So another one of those areas where our unfamiliarity with the nature of God here costs us dearly. Nancy Spiegelberg wrote this short prayer in the periodical called Our Daily Bread. She wrote, "Lord, I crawl across the barrenness to you with my empty cup, uncertain in asking any small drop of refreshment. If only I had known you better, I'd have come running with a bucket." You know, we have to be more familiar with God. That's the point. Not only is God the source of all real strength, God really wants to share His strength with us. He really does. I read to you a moment ago from Isaiah chapter 40 how God reminds us of His great strength. But in the very next chapter, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, God says this, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." I will strengthen you. It's important to make a clarification here. Nowhere does God promise to remove us from the difficult situation. That's important to remember. What he does is he promises to give us strength to overcome our situation. And I'll tell you another place where we read that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you remember this? Paul had this very difficult situation. We don't know what it was. We're not told what it was. But it was so difficult, it stressed him out so much that he referred to it as a thorn in the flesh. Or a stake in the flesh, is really the Greek. A terrible, terrible pain. And he went before the Lord three times asking God to remove him from this difficult situation. And I'm sure he prayed that. He had absolute confidence God would answer that prayer. But this is what we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power, listen, power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power may reside in me. So because of Christ, I am pleased in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen, there is no strength in being removed from a painful situation. Write that down. There is no strength in being removed from a painful situation. Admiral William McRaven is a Navy SEAL. He brought the commencement address at the University of Texas back in 2014, 2 years ago. The title of his talk was 10 Lessons to Change the World. It was a great talk. Let me just read to you a portion of that address. He said, every day during SEAL training, you were challenged with multiple physical events, long runs, long swims, obstacle courses, hours of calisthenics, all designed to test your mettle. Every event had standards, times you had to meet. If you failed to meet those standards, at the end of the day, you were invited to a circus. A circus was 2 hours of additional calisthenics designed to wear you down, break your spirit, force you to quit. No one wanted a circus. A circus meant that for that day, you didn't measure up. A circus meant more fatigue. And more fatigue meant the following day would be more difficult, which would lead to additional circuses. But at some time during SEAL training, everyone, he repeats, was invited to a circus. But an interesting thing happened to those who were constantly in a circus. They got stronger and stronger. The pain of the circuses built inner strength and physical resiliency. And he spoke to his graduating class. He said, life is filled with circuses. You will fail. You will likely fail often. It will be painful. It will be discouraging. At times, it will test you to your very core. But if you want to change the world, don't be afraid of the circuses. Now, we're not talking about changing the world today, but we are talking about receiving strength from God, right? And I think it's interesting here that the SEALs have taken a lead from God. Because this is how God gives strength. He does not remove us from the difficult situation to give us strength. He gives us strength as a result of the difficult situations. He longs to give us strength, and He does give us strength. But He gives it through difficult situations. You okay with that? So God is the source of all strength, and God gives us strength. Here's the last thing. When we praise Him, that should be obvious in our passage. Listen again. Then David, kind of count the times he mentions praise or implies praise. Then David praised the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. That's one. David said, may you be praised, that's two, Lord God of our fathers Israel, from eternity to eternity. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, there's another praise, the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in the heavens and on the earth belongs to you, another praise. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, another praise. You are exalted as head over all, there's another praise. Riches and honor come from you, yet another. You are the ruler of everything, another one. In your hand are power and might, there's another mention of praise. And it is your hand, it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Friends, there's a veiled prayer for strength, but it's embedded in the middle of a whole lot of praise. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again, try to drive it home. Our prayer life, and by the way, every facet of our prayer life, every element of our prayer life would be vastly improved if we would just learn how to praise God. Praising God aligns us correctly somehow. Praising God puts us in the right place to dialogue with God, to visit with God, to relate to God, to understand God, to receive from God. I have three grandsons, and they're good guys, but they're knuckleheads. And I have one granddaughter. Somehow, she has figured out how to wrap me around her little finger. Finger's only about that long. She just instinctively knows how to do that. She's so polite, you know? Full of please and thank you and yes, sir, and no, sir. I ask her a question, you know, and she comes back, yes, please. No, thank you, Papa. You know what she does? She blows kisses. Mwah, 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 mwah. I'm a 66-year-old Marine, and you see me out there. Mwah, 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 mwah. Grandson's looking at us like, what is wrong with you all? And here's another thing she does, whether we're at their house or they're at our house, you know, as I'm walking out the door, give me a kiss, Papa. So, you know, I bend down, we kiss, and then get out into the driveway on the way to the car, she runs out. Need another kiss, Papa? I bend down and kiss her and hug her. Go out and get in the car. She runs out, knocks on the window. Need another kiss, girl? She leads in, kisses me. Man, I'm telling you what. That girl could ask me for anything, and I would turn the world upside down in order to give it to her. I would. I love my grandsons. But that girl, I'm telling you what. God loves us all. He does. He loves us all. But those who lavish praise on Him, those who love him and dote on him and tell him regularly how great he is and all the great things he does, all the great characteristics he has, those who blow him kisses and treat him the way he should be treated, when it comes time for that individual to ask of God, he'll turn the world upside down in order to give them what they ask. And it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. I'm not suggesting that should be our motive. That's not the point at all. All I'm saying is when one of his kids comes before him with a heart full of love and a heart full of adoration and a heart full of praise, Father, I praise you this morning because you're the great eternal God, because you're the great creator God. I praise you this morning, Father, because you're the great sovereign God over all things, because you're the great holy God, because you're the author of my life, you're the savior of my soul, you're the Lord of my days, you're my joy, you're my peace, you're my rest, you're my strength, you're my stability, you're my wisdom, you're my provider, you're my protector, you're my physician, you're my counselor, my guide, you're my mentor, you're my best friend, you're my champion, you're my victory, you're my everything. Man, God says, you ask, I give. I give. We humans are not very strong. We're not very strong physically. And we're not very strong emotionally and spiritually. When we are spent, he's the source of all strength. He loves giving us strength when we praise him. That is dialoguing with God. Bow your heads with me. Father, one of the reasons we're here is because we recognize in the midst of our defeat, in the midst of our discouragement, in the midst of our heartbreak, in the midst of our limitations, our weaknesses, we have this understanding deep in our heart, deep in our soul that somehow you have what we need. We forget how great you are, though. We forget that you're the source of all strength. We turn to you today. Not as paupers, but as princes and as princesses. Sons and daughters of the King, confessing to you our great need and asking for your great supply. And we're not going to be concerned about the darkness around us. We're not going to be concerned about the monsters that lurk around every corner. Our trust and our confidence is in you. Give us your strength. Now keep your head bowed for a moment. There are some who've come here today. There may be one or two who've come here today. Kind of come to the end of yourself. Are growing very near to the end of yourself. And you came today hoping to hear a word. You came today hoping to leave a little stronger You've come with a thimble, looking for crumbs. God wants you to come with a bucket and leave with power. If you've never tried it the Lord's way, if you've been living your way all these years and now you're at the end of yourself and you're ready to allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you're willing to make that decision today, I want to invite you to come. Come down here to the front. We have men and women who are trained counselors who love people, love to visit with you, love to pray with you. Why don't you just come? You don't have to be articulate about expressing why you're coming. Just come saying, I want what the preacher talked about today. Will you do that? This could be the first day of a great and glorious future. If you come today, either to a counselor, to a pastor, or come here to the altar, pray, God, give me strength. He'll give it. Don't put it off any longer. Don't suppress it any longer. Give it up. It's okay. It's the right thing to do. You'll never regret coming to Him. Will you come? You may have another need, another decision. That's okay. Come on. Pray with a counselor. Lord and Savior, will You draw us to You now? We long to put our arms on Your shoulders. We long to allow You to be our strength. Help us to come to You now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.